up in Chippewa Falls. They're decking all the halls. They're skating on the river and across. You can feel the magic all across the state. It's calling me back home, and I can hardly wait. It's Christmas in Wisconsin. Hanging out the wreaths, putting stars on top the trees, and putting presents underneath. Home for the holidays is the only place to be. That's Christmas in Wisconsin. That's Christmas in Wisconsin. For me.
All right, folks, we're going to start boarding flight 268 to Milwaukee out of KC-7. You light up.
It's Christmas in Wisconsin on your radio friend, the Mears Brothers. It is 14 minutes until 11 o'clock on your Wednesday morning. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, play-by-play man, and color analyst for life, all wrapped up into one nice, neat, lovable Christmas package, Glenn Klein. And he is Dr. Robert D. Enright. He's the co-founder of International Forgiveness Institute. He is the unquestioned pioneer in the scientific study of forgiveness. He has been called the forgiveness trailblazer by Time Magazine and is often introduced as the father of forgiveness research because of his 25-year academic commitment to researching and implementing forgiveness programs. A professor of education psychology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, a position he's held since 1978. For his work in the peace movement, Dr. Enright was named a 2006 Paul Harris Fellow by Rotary International, and in 2007, he received UW-Madison's highest award, the Hilldale Award for Excellence in Teaching, Research, and Service. It is our honor to please welcome Dr. Bob Enright to Community Conversations on WRJN. Good morning, Dr. Bob.
Good morning, Glenn. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for being had. Where are you this morning?
I am in Madison, Wisconsin, trying to stay warm. That Christmas in Wisconsin song chilled me.
In a good way?
In a great way.
Did you get the chills? You get a little goosebump?
I did get a little goosebump.
The first time, I'm Jewish, and and the first time I heard that song, I did get a little verklempt.
Got it.
Because I do love Wisconsin. I love Christmas too, frankly. Yeah. But the Mears Brothers donated all the proceeds to that song last year to the Salvation Army. How cool is that?
Oh, wow.
And they're really from the Racine area.
How nice.
Did you catch that little play on words that when they were coming, mentioning Racine, that Kris Kringle was coming to Racine? Do you know?
I didn't catch that, but I am now.
Pretty clever.
It is.
I actually was at UW-Madison just after you started your career there. And I was involved in some groundbreaking research with a professor named Dr. Ed Donnerstein. Do you know Dr. Donnerstein?
I have heard the name, but I don't know what he does.
Well, he did, and I was a research assistant for him, a groundbreaking study on the effect of pornography on men. Which is a little bit of a different milieu than what you're involved in, but nonetheless,
yeah.
Another important work at UW-Madison.
Yeah.
So how did you get interested in the whole issue of forgiveness?
Well, I was looking for something relevant to the human condition because a lot of the research I did in virtues, because that was one area in educational psychology that had captured attention for about 100 years. But all of it centered on justice and how children and adolescents come to be fair. And it didn't seem to have enough impact for me. So I just made a shift with the idea that every person on the planet has been treated unfairly by others at some time in their life. And they have to find a way out of that to even heal emotionally when they've been really hurt by others. And forgiveness, as a virtue that's been around for thousands of years, seemed worthwhile to study. And when I looked around, nobody had ever brought forgiveness into the social sciences, so it gave me a career.
How do you do that?
Well, what you have to do is first courageously realize you've been treated unfairly. And let's say it's from a parent, it's sometimes hard to admit that the parents can do us wrong, as an example. Then we realize we've been injured by it. And then as a virtue, we try to get rid of resentment toward those who've hurt us. And here's where it gets controversial. You try to offer goodness of some kind to that person without throwing justice under the bus, without excusing it. You may or may not reconcile with someone when you forgive. You can offer a smile or a civility or a returned email, and you can still watch your back if someone is abusive, but that's what forgiveness is. And because it sometimes gets so confusing in our society, we should stand up for our rights. Well, we can do that, but also have a gentler approach of forgiveness along with that.
He is Dr. Robert D. Enright. He's a Madison professor. He's the co-founder of the International Forgiveness Institute. This is Glenn Klein on WRJN's Community Conversations for a Wednesday morning. How do you study forgiveness?
Well, first you have to make sure you can measure it. And we measure it by the degree to which someone has offered positive thoughts and getting rid of some of the negative and more positive feelings and getting rid of the negative and positive and negative behaviors toward that person. That's the degree to which someone forgives another. And then we also have a pathway of how people actually go about forgiving. And then we see how they do on their degree of forgiveness after they walk that pathway.
What are the benefits of the people or for the people that walk out that kind of forgiveness as opposed to those who don't?
Well, we do what we call randomized experimental and control group research studies. For example, with incest survivors, people in drug rehabilitation, even six-year-old children in conflict areas of the world, like Belfast, Northern Ireland. And we see that when even children as young as age six or people in hospice as old as 85 can walk a particular pathway, which we can describe in a moment, they tend to, first of all, get rid of emotional disruption, such as deep anger, even anxiety, and even if they've lived with this resentment a lot for many years, psychological depression. Their sense of hope gets better for the future, and you know who they end up liking more? Themselves. Because we find that when people have been beaten down by others, they tend to almost believe the story, and they think, you know, I'm not such a great person. And forgiveness reverses that, because if you can offer goodness to those who are not being good to you, you're a lot stronger than you think you were. And you can end up re-liking yourself, if you will. And that's part of the beauty of forgiveness.
When I was 9 years old, I was molested at summer camp by a counselor of mine. And then many, many years later, I went on to purchase the summer camp that I was molested at. And my counselor remained friends with a guy that came back to work for me after I owned the camp. And he had no idea about this and invited the counselor that molested me to summer camp to visit when I owned the camp. And I had a decision to make. And I made a decision because of forgiveness to welcome him with open arms. I never said a word to him about it. He was married at this point. He had two daughters, his wife and his two children were with him. And I really feel, Dr. Bob, that that was a turning point in my life.
I'm sure it was. And I'm hoping your listeners realize how heroic that is. Because you were in a position of potential power. You were the owner. You could have let this guy have it. You could have let him have it in the context of his family. You could have embarrassed him. You could have shamed him. And you didn't. You chose to what we call do no harm. That's the beginning part of forgiveness, to do no harm. And then it's not just doing no harm, refraining from the negative. You were cordial to him. You were kind. See, that's where people look with big eyes like deers in the headlights saying, how could you do that? That's not fair. Well, sure, it's not fair, but it's merciful. and it is good. And the one who tends to benefit when you do something that heroic is the one who offers the goodness. In this case, you as the owner of the camp.
There's no doubt in my mind, and I know for a fact, that this had a dramatic effect on me in my emotional and psychological development. You talked earlier, Dr. Bob, about the pathway to forgiveness. I didn't know that I was on it, but undoubtedly I was.
You were.
When or how do you instruct people who need to get on that pathway to get on there, and what is the process?
Well, first you have to make a decision to forgive and know what you're doing. You're not excusing. You never excuse that guy.
No.
You knew what he did was wrong, is wrong, and it will always be wrong. You may or may not reconcile with him, and you chose to do so. You offered him the olive branch. And so you know what you're doing. You're going to offer goodness to those who have not been good to you. And then you expand the story of who the person is. You saw that he was more than his evil acts against you. You saw him as a family man, a confused man, okay, someone who took advantage, but he was more than that. He was a human being who could be hurt gravely by your going after the truth on that if you wanted to, but you expanded your story to see he could have great harm against him. So your thinking began to change, and once we have this expanded story that he is more than the actions against us, our hearts start softening to a degree. Again, not because of what he did, but you see a vulnerable person, someone who is confused and wounded himself, see. And so then you, what we call, bear the pain. Morton Kaufman, an Israeli psychiatrist, in his writing, taught me about this theme of bearing the pain. And he said, when you can bear the pain for others, you don't throw it back to them, and you don't displace your anger onto others, and that's when you get stronger. Morton Kaufman, he was writing in the 1950s on the same kind of theme and forgiveness. And that's when you decide to heroically give a gift, which you did. You gave a gift to that man. You gave the gift of temperance with him, non-revenge, and welcoming. And it's then that we begin to find meaning in what we've suffered. And you know what I think your meaning was, Glenn? You know, I'm stronger than I thought I was. I now can have a life that is not defined by what that person did to me. And your forgiving gave you your life, basically, as you said.
This is Glenn Klein on WRJN. He's Dr. Robert D. Enright, the co-founder of International Forgiveness Institute for Madison, Wisconsin, this morning. I never thought of forgiveness as an heroic act. How heroic was it for him to come back, and because he knew who he was going to meet, the owner of the summer camp, who was his past camper. Was that heroic for him?
Well, it certainly took courage. And see, we don't know his heart because we don't know why he was coming back. And the hope is that he was coming back to perhaps make some amends and get it right. And I'm not sure if that happened or not, but if it did, where he would actually try to reach out to you for your sake, then I would call it heroic. But, you know, we have people with a lot of different motivations for why they do what they do. And if he simply came back to get some kind of advantage for himself, I wouldn't call that heroic. It all depends on the motive, I think.
One of the most important things in life, I think, is realizing that it is more blessed to give than receive. We have a big season of giving, but giving is a attitude that can be expressed year-round. It's been said that forgiveness is for giving, that if you're in a state of bitterness or unforgiveness, you are not capable of giving to your fellow man or woman to the capacity that you would be able to. So really being in unforgiveness is really hindering the person that has been harmed versus the person that did the harming.
That's right. You see, we have to realize when deep injustice befalls us, a new injustice comes to visit us, and that's called resentment. And we tend to circle the wagons around us. Sometimes we get bitter with negative views of life, that everyone's out for themselves. And see, that's a second wound that comes in. The first one is bad enough, but then to live in an interior way with the resentment and even the hatred, that brings us down. We have to be aware of these second injustices, and forgiveness cures the resentment.
He is Dr. Robert D. Enright. He is the International Forgiveness Institute co-founder. His website is internationalforgiveness.com. The owner of this quality radio station, Dave Magnum, suggested your appearance, Dr. Bob, and I'm so glad he did, and I hope he can do it again in the near future. And Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Holidays, whatever you're celebrating there in Madison, and stay warm.
Indeed. Thank you, Glenn. You take care now.
Your radio friend is on AM 1400 WRJN Racine, FM 98.1 Kenosha, and FM 99.9 Racine.
Great stuff. Your Hump Day Wednesday Hour of Power, where we acknowledge that knowledge like this is indeed power, follows WRJN Covering the World at 11 o'clock.
The Climate Change List, Tech Talks. I'm Chaz Henry. There's an Energy Department-related standoff between the outgoing and incoming